Welcome to another Hour of Truth here with Paul Muller and Phil Walthall and Scott Bishop and James Usler and, you know, all kinds of other merry men.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, everybody.
There you go. Welcome. And so what are we going to talk about?
I didn't have an opportunity to listen to anything Steve had going on today. Self. Did you pick up on him, James?
Yes, Steve talked about when he came to know the Lord, and he had to take the bar exam, and he did not study for the bar exam at all in Vermont. Yet he read the Word, and read the Word, and really just he wanted to learn more about Jesus. So instead of reading law or preparing for the bar exam, he read the Word, and when he got down there, two out of the first three questions he'd never heard of, really. One was Act 250, which was a Vermont law, so he was not familiar with it. And the other one was strict foreclosure, I think he said. And, of course, he says, I know what foreclosure is, but strict foreclosure? But, you know, he remembered that the Lord says, ask in my name and you shall receive it. And Steve did that, and Steve passed the bar with no problem.
An interesting thing about that story is when I came to Steve's law office, I was a few years removed from law school, and I hadn't taken the bar exam yet. And he had shared that experience with me. And I'm getting ready, you know, to take the bar exam, and I did have some study tools and things. And I was utilizing those, but I was also reading the Word. And as I was reading the Word, the Lord was showing me essentially the history of the American legal system and how it related to His Word. And through His Word, He showed me the law. And I had a similar experience when I got to the examination. I mean, it's a two-day examination, 8 hours each day, and you're just essentially locked in a room and, you know, they give you the half hour, an hour for lunch. I mean, that's it, and you just do it. But as I was working through some of these issues, the Lord would show me the answer to the question before me using His Word. And it was pretty cool, and the second day was essays, and that's where you get into these questions like the Act 250 and, you know, all these hypothetical things and how do you work through it. And I looked at it, I was like, oh, Lord, you need to help me, Lord.
The answer to insurmountable study an unscalable mountain.
Yeah.
An undoable thing is to get to know the Lord better.
Amen. Amen.
In whatever situation you find yourself,
put your hand to do it heartily as unto the Lord.
Amen. It was in that I asked the Lord to show me the answers to these questions that would be pleasing unto the examiners that were examining me, you know, in this, because I wanted to have that credential that I might move forward and serve Him in a similar capacity or measure as Steve.
And that's one of the key things. You know, where James talks about what comes to mind is James, where he talks about you ask not because you have not because you ask not, or you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. One of the things was your prayer was to what? Serve Him. You wanted Him to show up for you, to deliver you out of that, to help you through that exam. So why? You can what? Serve Him, not yourself. And that was a thing where that's not amiss. See, He's going to answer that prayer. He's going to answer those prayers that are according to His will. Don't hear me wrong. It's not like you don't make your request known unto God. I've asked for some things of the Lord that whether I had it or not was no difference if I served him or not. But whether I had it or not was just, it was something that I would like to have. And in fact, though, when it comes to find out, I asked not too long ago, I asked for a certain thing. I had got a certain thing, and I used it for him. I used it for him. And it was a toy. Some people, it's not considered a toy, but it was a thing I like enjoying.
They're fixing to ban that ammunition. That's a bomb. Put in a.
No, it's a certain type of that ammunition. It's actually the green tip type. All the rest is going to be just still sellable. Which is the green tip, is I don't buy.
Oh, they had more than the green tips in the picture, so I was.
No, I read it last night. It's just a certain type that has an armor piercing thing to it. No, I hear it. Yeah, I know what you mean. And everybody freaked out and got it, but I read it. It was like, no, it's just.
Oh, okay.
It's just the armor piercing one. And there it's still, there was. I don't even know if that's even going through. It might, you know, whatever the case may be. And if so, then, you know, pray that, whatever. Praise the Lord. But in that sense of just bringing it back to the point of the matter is, you know, I remember Davey sharing a story about a captain that I believe was who was injured or sick or something along the lines, and he asked him, he goes, you know, he wanted healing from the Lord. He asked him, well, why do you want to be healed from the Lord? Well, so I can go back being a captain again.
A captain of a ship.
Captain of a ship again. He goes, well, he's not going to answer that. Well, why not? Well, because you want to go back. Why would he give you something to go back doing your own thing? To go back to do it your own thing, to consume it, you know, upon your lust. He didn't bring up that scripture, but he used that example. Why would he give you that which would be for your own destruction?
Right.
Now, if you want to be healed because you want to go serve the Lord, be free from that thing that you may go serve the Lord. That's a different thing entirely.
Yeah. It is. But, you know, you couldn't see that that opportunity was presenting itself when I told you that, then you were comfortable with going to get it.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't really, yeah. And that's a good point. I mean, I went and talked to you, Paul. I mean, it was a big dollar purchase. It's something I wanted. I actually prayed for, but I was very concerned about, you know, just, am I just being a selfish prick here? I mean, this is a lot of money to drop on this thing, and something I wanted. And he goes, oh, Phil, what you do with those, I mean, you love taking, you use that shooting range and taking people to shoot when people come over. You're like, let's shoot skeet. You use it to minister unto others. I felt relieved and free to go do it then. I was really concerned otherwise. But that is a very good point. You know, and exactly right when I got it, I think it was shot it once. The second time I shot it, I met somebody at Walmart. And he's from Germany. He's taking pictures at the gun counter. I'm like, that's kind of odd. I mean, taking pictures at Walmart. I mean, so most people go to, like, you know, maybe the...
Maybe you take pictures of the people at Walmart.
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, that
I can understand that, yeah.
Or if you went to a state park, you know, in a different terrain, then he goes, oh, this is just amazing. This is amazing. Have strong accent. This is amazing. They sell guns right here in the supermarket. In Germany, you can't get one unless you have a ridiculous license that's about impossible to get. And he's telling me these things. I said, well, better yet, hey, man, you want to come shoot one? Oh, I'd love to. Gave him my card. He gave him a ministry card. And it was an opportunity. He came out. He brought a friend. We had a great time. I had the opportunity to share my testimony with him. He wants to come out again. We really want to make plans for him. Maybe have a cookout, have a Saturday off, have him over again. But that was opportunity. And it was the opportunity presented itself right after the fact. So it was a praise the Lord.
So it turned into something pretty quick.
No, absolutely. Right away.
Yeah.
Right away. And that's that hardly as unto the Lord thing.
Yeah.
And you know, what I said, when one of the things I said this morning in service was, that ain't about, and I was talking about Cheryl, it ain't about what you do.
But how you do it.
It's about what the motive behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're doing that hardly as unto the Lord, there's going to be fruit from that. You know,
yeah.
And don't hear me wrong. It's not. Go ahead. I apologize, Paul.
The thing that was going through my head was the difference between the Pharisee who's doing things to be seen by others doing it.
Yeah, and that's...
He says, you know, Matthew 6 says, I tell you, they have the reward. And that means that's all you're going to get. The end of that is, depart from me, I never knew you, you work iniquity.
Iniquity, because it was all about you.
The other one, the reward comes when he says, welcome in, my good and faithful servant. That's the one. That's the only one that counts.
Yeah.
So seeking all that stroking from other men is no. There's no end. It's not going to get you where you think you want to get.
Absolutely. And 9 times of 10, you don't even know it when you're doing it. Hardly as an employee, you don't know what
not
that
even,
is.
Yeah, not even paying.
You're not even clueless. When I invited that guy over, it seemed like a ministry opportunity. But at that time, I just wanted to show him a cool thing. You know, hey, you're enjoying looking at it. Hey, come on board. But one of the things is when I remember I was about to quit Gerald's, and everybody kind of remember that time. I mean, it took a lot of looking at, talking with Steve. Been with Gerald's a long, long time. And leaving was just not an easy, just decide and go up and quit and leave, especially where I was going to go back to. But however, in the midst of it, and I made my decision, and I was going to quit until the owner stepped in and said, all right. What do we got to do to change your mind? Tell me what we got to do to change your mind. Now, that's when it changed. But however, in the midst of that, when the guys found out I was leaving, I let them know I was going, the responses that I got were some of the things that were, I mean, about made me cry, because I had no idea that me being there affected them at all. I didn't know if I... I was doing anything that of the Lord. Or not. I wanted to. That's what my heart's desire was. But whether I was doing it or not was just... Didn't know. But the responses that I got was one that it made me recognize that the Lord was there, was ministering to those guys. He was using me to do that. And I had no idea. I had no idea.
Humbling, isn't it?
It is very humbling. Very humbling. I mean, brought me to tears a couple times. Made me not want to leave that the more. And then when the owner stepped in, it was more like a relief than like, oh, darn, I guess I'm going to say no. It was like, man, praise God. Because at that point, you know, and hearing those responses and hearing that it was actually ministering to others was a big deal. Maybe not want to leave the more. So praise the Lord. But that's where... You know, remember, what scripture is that where he talks about the goats and the sheep? And the goats say, you know, and it's similar to 6, the goats say, when have we not fed thee? When have we not done these? When have we not done these things? When you didn't do it to the least of them, you did it not to me. And then the sheep, when they go, when the sheep hear, but when did we do these things, Lord? When did we do these things? But when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, see, they were clueless.
They weren't paying attention. They weren't to who was watching, and that the motivation was as unto the Lord.
As unto the Lord, exactly. And you know, the Lord's good, and when you have a repentant heart, when you have a heart to go out and serve Him, what He does is, and what I've experienced this past week for me is one of those things where I recognize the things that were not of Him that I was operating, the things that I wasn't. Was recognized to me. He's graceful to show you, Phil, these things are not of me. You see the fruit of these things, and they're not of me. They're not good. One, I mean, oh Lord, oh my God, help me. And two, Lord, I don't want that. He gave me opportunity to look at it, change, turn from it. And it was just a matter of moments. When you turn, when you let go of that old way, and you let go of that old way. That you've been operating, you can receive from Him. You can receive the good thing from Him. And it was just a matter of time, that same thing I was able to minister rightly and immediately right after.
Yeah.
And to somebody that was dear to me. Dear. And that's it's a beautiful thing what the Lord did. It's just another. It's another thing where you can trust the Lord. You can have hope in His redemption. You can have hope in His gospel. He is moving, and you can partake in the things that He has. And as you go forward, if you're just, as you go forward, He will show you Himself. He will show you a better way. He won't leave you comfortless. He will answer your prayer if you're about Him.
That's
not about consuming it upon your own lust.
That's what you call a sweet spot. And one of the things about that attitude where you're just doing stuff that's under the Lord is that the way it helps you minister is because your ministry is without hypocrisy. And that's very attractive to the hearers. Especially if the hearers are hearing it by just what you do and not with what you say. Because you can say a thing and it'd be a lie. And they would have to determine whether or not you're lying in hypocrisy or actually doing what you're saying.
Yeah.
When they see you always doing a thing, then you don't have to tell them that you're not a hypocrite. They see you doing it.
Yeah, it becomes self-evident.
Yeah. It's great, you know. It's a great plan. It's really simple to say it too. It is. Sometimes not convenient to do it, so you have to choose to reorient your attitude, adjust your attitude. It's such a safe place to be in. To be pleased, seeking to please the Lord, to seek, do everything as unto the Lord. Lord, are you going to be pleased with this? Lord, am I doing this right? And there are some things that we as people do, and we don't ever think of why. But so much of our religious quotation, air quotes, religious service stuff isn't, we don't ever think about whether God is pleased in it or not. We're doing it to please other people. And that's not good. when he tells that woman, Jesus tells that woman in John 4, the day is coming, I tell you, when he who seeks to worship God will have to do it in spirit and truth. That's a terrible paraphrase. The thought occurred to me, said, it matters to God how you worship Him? Oh my. That's going to come as a shock to a whole lot of people in the day.
The ones that are used to the ritual and
well,
we held the candle and we walked down the aisle this way and we, you know, we sang so great and we,
We wore our fancy clothes and we did these fancy things.
Right. You weren't pleased with that? No. It wasn't what I was asking of you in the first place. But, and kind of going on that, you're talking about doing it. You were talking about doing it this morning too, Scotty. And one of the things is that's an act of choice all the time. And when you recognize that the way you've been operating was absolutely, totally wrong, it scares you to the place that when you come across that choice to, oh, there's that old way I can go, there's that fleshy way that I can go, it scares you to the point, I don't want to be there anymore. And I know that the Lord is well able. You cast down that old way because you recognize how that's a path to destruction and misery that you don't want to be on anymore. And it scares you to the point where you have nothing and you get furious against that way and you cast that thing down. But it's a choice. You're going to have opportunity to walk in His way. You recognize that thing? Great. Now stand and walk in His way instead. And that's a daily choice. It's a choice you put off. And you put off with a mighty ump. And you know, the thing is the Lord didn't leave us comfortless in that. So what did He says in the scriptures, "What casts all his care upon me, all his cares upon him, because what he careth for you." We also have a scripture I was reading in Corinthians not too long ago that he that when you're tempted, you're not tempted of God, but when you are tempted, he has a way out. You're not tempted above measure where there's no way out. He's made a way out.
Yeah.
You're seeking to choose him. That temptation comes upon you from your own lust, more than likely. There's a way out. You don't have. There's a way out. The Lord says, his word says, there's a way out of that.
So seek him and find that way out.
Absolutely. He's there for you. He wants you to be part of his plan. He's given you everything you need to be part of his plan.
Yeah, he's a lot nicer than Allah is. Allah is just mean.
If you do start seeking him and you do start changing your ways, walking it out, doing it, it'll build up faith in you. Because you'll see that he meets you.
Absolutely.
And then as you do it, it'll become easier. It'll become a habit. It'll become second nature. I don't know what other words I could use, but... And
that
then
you... That you can do without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's easy to let that enemy come back if we allow it.
Yeah.
We actually, you know, it's kind of interesting. Remember I was sharing with you, and I shared with you before, but you got to see the placard yourself of the Anglican Church.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pilgrims left because of the Anglican Church. They wanted to get away from it and its ways. And here it's, what, 1706? They come establish that the main church, they put it right in the middle of Fort Dorchester, which was the marketplace at the time, put it right smack middle of the place and said, this is the church, you get the main church. And then they even tax people to even support the church, I think, without them. And then still the people, and they had a side note saying that the people said, they still went to the congregational church instead. Yeah. And it's a very interesting how quick, when we're looking at that.
Which was the church that the folks had built.
Right, which was the original.
Down the road, off to the side. It wasn't easy to get to.
Oh, I know. It wasn't ready available. I mean, it was just, man, you wanted it, you went and got it.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to go get it. But no, the one that the enemy set up was one that was ready available, right before your eyes. Easy to take.
Probably big and fancier than the other.
I'm sure. That was still there, the Anglican Church. There's nothing there. The lady was telling me, there's nothing there to see. It's absolutely demolished.
Yeah.
But it's so easy. You can see how easily the enemy and his doctrine he was trying to put right in the pervert the true gospel. Once again, see, that's another thing about humbling yourselves in the sight of the God. Resist the devil, and he shall flee. Part of staying on that track. What does Paul say? I die daily. He daily dies to that old man and he goes and lives for Christ. What does Jesus say? Those that endure to the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing slot against the enemy and his devices and putting this old man down. And in the midst, you know, I was talking to you earlier, the Lord will rip those layers that aren't of him off. Well, you may be able to operate more freely in him, more and more. Mm-hmm. And he's a loving God because he doesn't show you all those things at once.
Right, he doesn't take them all off.
He doesn't take them all off at once. We wouldn't be able to handle it. But as you need, and as just being a perfect father, he
as you grow to a point where you can stand in that which he's already shown you, peels back another layer.
Absolutely.
All right, you got that? Let's move forward into this. And you got to take care of this here. All right, well.
It
hurts! Oh! All right, well, praise God. I'm going to take care of it.
And there's deliverance and healing after that. It's like you got an infection, man. You got to dig out around there. It's painful, but you get the infection out. Mm-hmm. And it can be healed up nice.
looks like somebody ought to be buying a boat here pretty soon. It's going to take a boat to get between here and there.
Well, property. If we got a gyro helicopter, we can just fly over it and make landing pads between.
Yeah, the helicopter. That's going to happen, yeah. That's practical. It is... a tendency, because one of the things that I was that prompted me today was, you know, thinking back to when I was a teenager, when I was early 20s, how many people I dealt with that. I didn't know, but who were Christians, air quotes again, and how many of them had put in a zip line. Yeah, well, that's going to happen too. I can just see it. what I received from them wasn't how good the Lord is and what
the Lord could do, or the Lord's love,
yeah,
and
all
grace.
All the benefits of
was how good
which
we
are immense of knowing Him. And serving Him, what I was getting was judgment and condemnation. You know, I didn't understand that, you know, the world was condemned already. If I wasn't a believer, the way to get me to believe wasn't to heap more condemnation and judgment on me. It was to deliver grace and mercy. And that opens up so much opportunity to not just minister grace and mercy in general, but to be specific to that person, to show the care and the love of the Lord. Again, a demonstration by doing, not by speaking. I mean... You always have to operate with a certain take everything with a grain of salt when somebody's telling you something, because you don't know whether they're telling you the truth or not, you know, unless you're operating in the discernment of the Lord. When you do have, you know, the Lord actually shows you things about what people are saying. But if you don't have that, you really got nothing, because you just assume everybody's lying to you. But when you see them doing something and they haven't said a word to you, then you know a lot more about them by what they're doing.
Well, I can remember... Gosh, I mean, I was first told the gospel 17 years old by... That wasn't the first time I was told the gospel. The gospel, once again, was presented to me back when I was 17 years old. And I remember Davey presenting that to me. Ricky, later on, presenting that to me. Once again, applying, you know, just the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not condemnation, not any of those things. And the Lord showed me where I was to be called. And that was good. And what anointing I partake over. And if I go any other way, it's not going to work. He set up an authority over me and here on earth. And it's the authority of His authority over me. And he showed me this right here. And I remember, you know, Davey would preach to me some things. You know, Ricky would preach to me some things. And there's things I just was like, I don't know. sometimes I absolutely just believed them, but I didn't. I wanted to do my own thing. But one of the things was I remember first meeting Davey, I was doubtful of Davey. I was doubtful that what some of the things he was telling me was true. Is he just a guy to get you involved with what he's got going on? There were some things that I doubted. But what happened was he showed me the love of Christ. He took me into his own home. And Cheryl, they took me into their own home. They would have me over. They would love me, minister mm-hmm. the love of Christ to me, send me back home. I get frantic. I'd be having a hard time at home. They'd take me out. They'd love me, send me back. They preached to me the gospel, amen, and they preached to me his word, amen, but they also showed me his love. And time again, Rick followed with that same love. Paul followed with that same love. Steve followed with that same kind of love. They never rejected me, not at once. Now, they wouldn't agree with the things that I was doing. They wouldn't agree to the things, and if I was wrong in a thing, they wouldn't agree that those things, but they never rejected me.
Mm-hmm.
They always told me the truth. And they always had the Lord's hand out. The Lord used them to have his hand out towards me. Always. And it was a long suffering that they did. Unless they did that, I would not be here. They were not obedient unto the Lord in that sense. Would not be. And that's what essentially when you're ministering to others, Paul, that's that part of doing. I mean, you say, great, it's kind of like James, hey, go eat, be warmed and filled, and you don't help them out, what's the point? We go, hey, eat, be warmed and filled, and you give them some food and some clothing there. That's the difference. You actually show them the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You actually are doing that, which the Lord would have you do.
That's what James means when he says, you say you have faith without works, I say I'll show you my faith by my works. That's doing the gospel, not just speaking the gospel, which is more powerful. Just the one you cannot deny because you see it.
Amen. And Davey, as I remember I said that remark, as Davey's like, is this the guy just trying to get me on to, his idea of what should go on, this? No, Davey wanted me to get on part of the Lord's plan.
Yeah.
And he knew there's no other hope for me unless I got on the Lord's plan. And he extended that hand out. And others in the ministry as well, I'm not going to negate that at all. Let's see. As his body, that's what we do. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? He get on partake of me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Be partakers of me. Hey, I'm going to die for you so that you can partake of my plan, of the Father's plan. I'm going to die so that you have that opportunity. Here, come, follow me.
I'm not sure I understand that.
Oh, what's in the chat? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
We haven't heard much from James.
Yeah, what's going on, James? You all right?
I'm fine. I mean, Phil's absolutely right in his testimony of coming to know the Lord. I can look back and when I called my Uncle Steve, I wasn't in a good place. I made choices that then I was in. Just not a good place. The situation was gray or dark, and Steve didn't condemn me or point out all these things that I did, and that's why I am. He brought me the way out, and that way was Jesus. He brought forth Jesus' love. He didn't condemn me. And that's the way that we need to go out, and that's the only way to minister to people.
It's like Davey telling a story about the trip to New Orleans, I think it was, when he had this preacher who was, he ran into this preacher and he watched him work, I guess, and he saw, you know, his, when he was out there talking to people, he was preaching condemnation and judgment, and
oh, I remember this.
He says, let me show you something. So he gets the cigarettes and puts them in his shirt pocket, and he goes down to the waterfront, something like that.
Yeah, and then I remember, I think the preacher was like, when he pulled out the cigarettes, he was like, what are you doing? I need bait.
You're going fishing, you need some bait.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Thank you.
So he starts talking to a guy, and you know, the guy says, hey, give me a bum cigarette. He pulls out a cigarette out of the pack and hands it to the guy, and he says, and the preacher's offended, man.
Yeah.
And he says, man, what are you doing? He says, you need bait. This guy has all the condemnation he can handle. He already knows he's condemned and going to hell. That stuff you're telling them, they already know. Said, what he needs to know is how good the Lord is.
And I think he went into Revelation at that time. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. The difference between this guy and the preacher is this guy knows he's going to hell. He knows he's condemned. And the three things out of Revelations 10.
They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. And he told the guy that he's...
The guy...
The minister...
He already didn't love his life.
He had the hard part done, is what he said.
Yeah.
Already got the hard part done.
You got the hard part done. You, minister, preacher, you
love
your own life.
Yep.
You think you're in pretty good shape. You're pretty comfortable here. And you got the word of the testimony, but you love your life. That's the hard one.
Yeah.
To look forward with anticipation of going to be with the Lord is a warm, fuzzy thing. That's not supposed to be a grief-stricken thing. You know? Now, there's a certain case of just missing people. But that was only a temporal existence anyway. That was just a shadow of the existence that's going to be. And you'll get to see them again. If you get there, they got there. But that's supposed to be a good thing. And, you know, that's good news to him, to this, you know, derelict, you know, bum, whatever he was.
Got down on the street.
Yeah, he had nothing. There's no reason for him to like his life.
It was interesting because what it laid down was one choice, and I believe those people stepped to the Lord. It laid down his life, and he actually used that pastor he was with as an example of somebody loving their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought him out. He had no more cloak for his sin anymore at that point. But that gave what? That was also love to those that were that he was ministering, that he gave the cigarette. It was also love to that minister.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That minister could turn from that way.
Yeah.
He might have been painful.
At that point, he had a clear choice.
He had a clear choice to turn from his way. He ministered to both of those people.
Gail,
two different types, but minister to both with one shot.
Our soul's not our flesh. I know our soul's supposed to rule over our flesh, though, and that's when it's not ruling over our flesh, then we sit there in grief stricken when we actually have knowledge to the contrary, because people would die and serve the Lord. They're going to be with Him. That's a confidence. And, you know, in that position, that's where it's time for your soul to rule. and say, I'm not going to be grief-stricken. I might miss them, but
what I'm thinking about.
Arrogant to consider them staying for you. I mean, why would you? I got news. If I could get a chance to go be with the Lord, I think I would rather do that than stay here to please somebody else. But I don't know. I'm selfish.
I look at, our soul is not our flesh. And I look at that and I also see the fact that, you know what? Don't let your soul be joined to your flesh. And that's what Christ died for. That's the freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, you let your soul be joined to the flesh, man, you let your soul get tainted by it. And, you know, it's one that where, you know, you talk about holy means separate. You talk about sanctified means separated unto the Lord. Your soul separated unto the Lord, not to this old dead man anymore. That's something that he did. And, you know, it's an interesting what song came to my mind when you're talking about the soul is unto thee, O Lord. Do I lift up my soul? I mean, that's a choice you make with your soul. Will you lift your soul unto the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we've hammered that one out pretty good. It is a reminder, because the gospel is good news. And if you're in that position where you're like the guy at the dock,
or the other guy,
you hate your life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, and that more abundantly. That's good news. That's good news. And the idea that to the minister that, you know, you weren't really preaching the gospel. There might be some people who are too comfortable in your church that need to hear that, but these people here, they know where they are, they know what their lot in life is. But, you know, if you will receive that, that's how you minister the gospel to people, then you can be set free. Because that's, you're sitting there judging me for having cigarettes, and I'm using them to minister to people.
Yeah.
And they're receiving it.
Amen. Had,
Lord, bigger than all that stuff, man. You got to get, yeah.
But it's just another freeing opportunity for others. It's good news for that preacher if he will hear it.
Yeah.
He will take it as good news. I mean, the good news of just recognizing, oh my gosh, I'm going about this all the wrong way. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for showing me that.
It's not that he's not ministering the gospel right. It's just he's not ministering the right gospel.
Right.
The gospel he's ministering is self-righteousness and works, and works righteousness. It's just wrong. It's an abomination. It's the Galatians all over again.
And that could be good news for him.
Yeah.
It's actually good news for him. Whether he receives it as good news, is that's his choice. But it's still good news because, see, the error of his way turned.
Yeah.
But you're right, yeah, another gospel. That's just those recent Galatians.
Gail goes, before coming to this ministry, did you ever consider that you were separate from your flesh? The concept that Jesus didn't die for you physically, not your flesh.
He died for your soul and spirit.
He didn't come to save you. This flesh is gonna die. As Hebrews 9:27. That's why it's appointed for every man to die once. We've still got two that haven't ever died. even Jesus died once for all. So the Uselers in Arizona say that you're only separate if you separate it. You have to choose that.
Yeah.
And that is true.
But you can't choose it without the gospel.
Without knowing that you have that choice.
Right. Without knowing the gospel.
Yeah.
Without
receiving.
Yeah, receiving the gospel. You can't. Other than that, you're stuck in the flesh.
Yeah.
That's why he died. When you receive that gospel, then you can make that choice to be separate from your flesh. But then and only then, when you receive that gospel. And then you do it every day. Then you die daily.
That's right.
As often as needed.
And often as needed, absolutely. When that choice comes, it might come every 25 days. So, hey, I can choose to be bound up in my flesh right now and listen to that, or I can choose the way of the Lord in this situation and trust Him in this. And He's bigger than, and He's going to give me that which to minister unto others in this situation and operate in that, not in the frustration and fear that my flesh is telling me.
But I understand what DeGale was talking about, is that that concept of the separation never even crossed my mind until I became a part of his ministry.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And, it's clear. Now looking back, it's clear. But, never considered it for a moment. But that's the... that's why some people's faith never delivers them. Because they believe that their whole package was died for by Jesus on the cross, and it wasn't.
Sure, and when you think it's the whole package, I mean, that's darkness. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much this ministry, but the truth. And that truth the light. And when you have that light in that darkness, then you're able to see.
And I didn't mean separation. To imply anything else.
I didn't think you did. I was just making it clearer.
Yeah.
You know, what you're saying. And that's what it is.
That's
part of the enemy thrown in. You know, you got the Baptist, once saved, always saved.
Yeah.
They want to throw that in there. Everybody wants to throw that in there to dumb you down, throw in their little lie so that you can fall off. Because he wants to drag you down to hell with him.
Oh, yeah.
He hates you. He wants to kill you. He wants to steal from you. He wants your soul and eat it up. And he misery love company. He's miserable and he wants all the company he can get.
Oh yeah.
And so that's why he throws those little deceitful lies in there, so that you can go believe in a lie to get you off what the Lord has for you. That's one of them.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
That's in there really close to the thing about my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice and they hear it when I call them. The thief come, but the skill, steal, and destroy. Do you know his voice? That's the overwhelming question. It's a very simple one. Do you know his voice?
You know, and I do want, I believe there's a correction for myself in that. And one of the things that Arizona had said, where he said, Gail, you're only separate if you separate yourself from it. One of the things I said was, that's what the Father does, or that's what the gospel's for. But one of the corrections is, it's not that once saved, always saved. Oh, Lord, I'm waiting for you. You know, Lord, I'm waiting for you to make me perfect. I'm waiting for you to, you know, to, you're going to take care of all this. No, it's like, here's the freedom. Here, there's a choice that we make. He's given us the choice to make.
The opportunity to make the choice.
Yeah, and I want to kind of clear that up, because that is the case. You know, we probably already covered it, but it wouldn't be good to cover it again. I
to speak this to you again is not grievous to me, and it's safe for you. That's right. However many different ways the gospel has been presented, it's always good news.
As many as necessary.
As long as it's the right gospel.
Amen. Amen.
Well, y'all have anything specific you want to talk about here before we wind up? Because we're close, and it's time probably to do that. Let's poll. How about it, Phil?
Yeah, I have nothing else except the Lord's good.
Yep.
And it's available.
Scott?
His provision is available.
Amen, Phil. And I don't have anything to add.
James?
Well, Phil, you were just talking about the comment from Arizona, and you know, you hit on something in the first service where the Lord is a gentleman. He's not going to force us to do something. It takes action on our part.
And he can show you the way out. He can show you deliverance. He can show you those things that you can get shed of.
His hand stretched forth, but we have to receive it.
But the defining thing, and really in what James is talking about, James, the book of James, is you say you have faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works, is it really comes back to the key word there is the faith. The faith that doesn't show, demonstrate the works is the difference between that and the devils believe and tremble. They don't have the works. That's scary. That ought to scare everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have faith that's more reliable and sure than the devil's, whose end is sure, then you're not in a good place. And the demonstration is the thing, the as unto the Lord, that is the demonstration.
You look at that, the devil's believe, fear, and tremble is what you just said, but
yeah.
Our natural man doesn't even want to fear God.
No.
Does not want to fear God at all. You know what I mean? So it's... I say that because...
Right, well, you're...
It's a choice.
James isn't boasting here. James is simply stating that I understand the way this ministry works. You minister the gospel. The strongest message is by doing. That's a powerful message. And I'll show you my faith by how I do things, what I do. And that's really strong. That's strong stuff. And that's never how that's taught. Not outside of the our group, our ministry. But that's it. You know, when I first clued into that, that was an amazing thing, because I still always assumed, you know, even for years after we didn't really do that much studying in James early on here. But I still assumed that that was a thing that was, that it wasn't, that there was something there that I didn't understand when it's really just simple. I'm showing you the faith I have. You're seeing the faith I have.
And the faith really is just the,
you don't
it's
have,
all, it's all about Jesus's faith, yeah, really. You know, yeah. It's just this, that, my trust in what he's done. My trust in what he can do. Watch what he can do.
Right.
Watch what he's done.
It comes back to that one word, believe.
Amen.
Right? Are you going to believe or are you going to continue to walk in unbelief?
Believe.
Well, it also matters what you believe, because the devils believe and tremble. So,
the gospel.
That's right. I keep coming back to that. You got to be in a better place than the devils.
If you're not, then your end's the same.
Well, yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's say goodbye, gentlemen, and we will see y'all next time on the Hour of Truth. The who's up next? The Texas group is up next here on the Eagle Radio Network. So,
goodbye, everybody.
Hey. Have a great day and week, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
And we will see you soon. May the Lord bless y'all.